This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by Clark's Pump and Shop, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Edwin Watts Golf, and Georgetown Advantage Air. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Sean, how many ways can I say this? Good morning. Good morning. All right, that's enough. Welcome to Backspin. Yeah, that's a few different ways. It's just when you've been doing the show for 6 years and say good morning every show, you know, try to vary it a little bit. Good morning. Anyway, no, enough. Welcome to Backspin Golf from the Square Country Club here on Main Street. We have a great show, as we always do, coming up. A lot going on. What a great weekend. Valero Texas Open, just some good stories. We got the ANA Inspiration. We got baseball. We got Final Four. Yeah, the whole weekend has been really something. Coming up, we're going to talk to our buddy Dan Houser down there in Florida. And our buddy Matt McCrady. And Chris Reddle from the Bluegrass Golf Tour. This is great stuff going on. You don't want to miss this. So let's go. Joining me now, the guy, the man, the myth, the legend, whatever. He's the co-founder and senior writer at The Stiff Shaft on Twitter, at The Stiff Shaft. You can follow him at Dan Houser Golf, H-A-U-S-E-R. And thestiffshaft.com. Check it out. It's fantastic. And still, nothing's come along with a better name. And we've been talking for a few years now, Dan Houser, right?
Yeah, it's been a little while, huh?
This is unbelievable. And we still have never actually physically, like, played golf together or anything.
Or even met face-to-face in person.
Yeah, but I don't care about meeting you. I just would like to play golf with you.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Go to the first tee, not say a word, just peg your ball, hit it, and go. That's all. And you, I know you have a tee time. It's we've had pretty good weather here in Lexington, but you down there in Florida have good weather. It's, I don't know, it was 34 this morning when we got up, or 20 or something.
It was in the 50s here when I got up this morning, but high today, right around the time of my tee time, is going to be 70, 71. It is a little bit windy today, though, so that's going to make for some interesting conditions, because we got the wind with
me
today.
Not wind. Oh, no. All right. Here's where I want to start. Next week, of course, we know. I just like to get your take on different things, as people who follow Backspin know already. So yesterday... we know the Masters is next week. Yesterday, the Masters champion, the reigning Masters champion from, boy, it seems like only a few months ago, right, Dan?
Yeah, it was only a few months ago. It's crazy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Came out. Everybody knows that there is a dinner that, and the food, the menu is picked by the defending champion for the next Masters. So they came out with the Masters Club dinner for, let's see, April 6th is when the dinner will be, next week. And DJ, Dustin Johnson, is the champion, as we know. Now, this, I'm sure you'll agree, over the years, this is, sometimes the dinners are hysterical. Sometimes there's controversy. All kinds of different things. We wait with bated breath to see what the champion will choose as the menu. This menu is the most Dustin Johnson menu ever, right?
The only way you could have gotten more Dustin Johnson with his menus if the menu had literally just been the sandwiches that are at the concession stand, the egg salad, the pimento cheese, and the pulled pork. But yeah, short of just rolling out the sandwiches and the green wrappers from the concession stand, this is about as DJ as it's going to get. And as I mentioned on Twitter the other day, the fact that the appetizer is pigs in a blanket. I know this is not a visual medium, but chef's kiss to pigs in a blanket. Yeah. At Augusta National, the chefs at Augusta National are going to have to make pigs in a blanket for these past winners. And man, I know it won't happen because they're professional chefs who are the best of what they do, and they'll make everything from scratch. But man, if they just rolled to the store and got some of those crescent rolls to make them in like you and I would, that would just top it all up. It's the best thing I've ever heard of in my life.
All right. Now, here, you just made a mistake right there. Crescent rolls like that we make, I can go to Kroger right now and get pigs in a blanket. Just heat them up. You don't have to get crescent.
Of course.
I mean, geez. Of course. Yeah, you're more of a chef than I am. But the funny thing is, pigs in a blanket and lobster and corn fritters. Those are the two appetizers.
He might have got some motivation for that from a couple of the local watering holes down here on the water that I've seen him at sometimes, because that sounds like some stuff that you would order at a couple of these bars and restaurants around here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That he went
potentially, you never know.
Last time he went to one of those places, he had those and he went, oh, I think I'll have these at the master's dinner. These are pretty good. First course, house salad or Caesar salad, like every restaurant in the world. Family style sides, mashed potatoes and spring vegetables. Main course, filet mignon. Or miso marinated sea bass. That's something else he got at a restaurant down there, I think.
He had to have been.
Yeah. And for dessert, peach cobbler and apple pie with vanilla ice cream. The whole thing is just, I remember, they're all interesting when they have these dinners. This is like, you could go to Applebee's and have this. This is the master's dinner, Dustin.
I would love to know if Dustin Johnson even knows what a sea bass even is. Like, could he go and identify a sea bass right now for us?
No, he couldn't, especially not miso marinated.
Yeah, exactly. No, forget that. I mean, I know he likes the fish down here. Like, if he caught a sea bass tomorrow, would he even know that it was a sea bass that he caught?
Probably not. Oh, somebody would. All right, I want to hear this. On your Twitter feed. So April Fool's Day this past week, you have 7:20 a.m. and I already fell for an April Fool's story. I hate this day. I have said this on the air on our daily show. I hate April Fool's Day because people think they're funny normally and they're not. And then on April Fool's, they go nuts and think they're funny and it's even stupider. So is this something you can share with us or no?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. It was a little embarrassing, but I was scrolling Twitter around 7 a.m. On April 1st there, and I came across a story from Jeff Shackelford. And I, you know, anytime he posts a story, I tend to read it because usually what he's got is some really good insight. And so this particular story happened to be a story about the fact that the tour was going to start removing microphones from certain spots on the course, especially areas around the water, and limit caddy conversations because of, you know, the controversies we've had the last few months. And given what has happened between, you know, Justin Thomas and, you know, the players and the Honda, all those balls, you know, hitting the water, making those sounds that, you know, so loudly, and, you know, the exchange with Jordan Spieth when he accidentally hit into Rory Sabatini, you know, it's believable. And right. So I retweeted the link, his tweet, you know, with the hashtag grow the game, thinking, okay, great, this is another stupid thing that golf is doing to ruin the viewing experience for all of us.
And then I started actually
reading it closer and reading some of these quotes, and I'm like, there's no way Tim Fincham said the, or I'm sorry, not Tim Fincham. Listen to me, I'm outdating myself here. There's no way that these quotes are real quotes. And then I realized pretty quickly, okay, yeah, I got had. And then at that point I'm like, all right, well, now I'm pissed off. And then I tweeted that I'm 7:20 and I already fell for one, and you know.
Yeah.
So
well,
I got.
Just so you know, I got too, because it made that tweet made me mad. His tweet.
Yeah.
I mean, it made me mad. I was like, are you kidding me? This has been the best thing about the pandemic. No fans. We can hear caddies and players talk. And so I got to. And it
well, I had a feeling when you replied to my tweet. I'm like, I bet you got God by the same thing I did.
That's right.
We tend to read and enjoy the same golf stories. So I'm like, I bet you he got God by the same one as me.
Now, here's another hashtag grow the game that you put up. And I know this is not an April Fool's joke. The Walker Cup, which is an amateur event that has always been free for spectators, have announced a ticket policy that only $500 trophy club passes are available? Or is that's Josh Shackelford too? Or is that an April Fool's joke?
Fortunately, that's very much not an April Fool's joke. And from a personal standpoint, listen, I know my lot in life, and I understand and have accepted a long time ago that I will never, ever get to play around a golf at Seminole. I'll never even probably be allowed on the property at any point in my life. So I was really looking forward to this Walker Cup because I thought, wow, this will be the one time in my life I'll be able to get to Seminole. I'll be able to see the grounds and truly finally be able to appreciate with my own eyes and not just through pictures what this golf course is and what it means for the game of golf. And apparently that's not happening anymore. So hashtag grow the game there. Yeah.
Oh, you know, that just really sucks. It really sucks.
I mean, the fact that I can go to the Honda Classic for cheaper than I can go to the Walker Cup, like, are you kidding me?
Just another example of the brilliant logic and common sense that are so prevalent in our world today in so many things. But this is a golf show. We won't get into all the other stuff. All right, here's something else. We're talking with, of course, our buddy Dan Houser down there in Florida. TheStiffShaft.com, peeps, is where you got to go. So they have announced that the Veritex Bank Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour, Tony Romo has accepted a sponsor's exemption to play in the 2021 event, April 22nd through 25th in Arlington, Texas. Now, he's done these before. He's played in pro events. He's never made a cut, I don't think. Is that right?
Yeah, no, he's never made a cut. I don't even think he's come close to sniffing a cut. I know Steph Curry... I don't think Steph Curry's made a cut either, but I know he's gotten close. But I don't even think Tony Romo has even sniffed a cut line, you know, at any point.
Well, people are, you know, you read the comments on Twitter and people are going, it's good for the game. And a lot of people are going, he's taking a spot that would be given to somebody who actually plays golf for a living and would need this. What's your take on this? Personally, I'll give you mine. I hate it. He's not growing the game. I'm sorry, on the Korn Ferry Tour, enough to take the spot away from somebody who's actually trying to make a living on a professional golf tour. That's what I think.
So I'm a little conflicted here. On the one hand, you know, I don't have as big of an issue when he does this at PGA Tour events as he's done before, when he's done opposite field events like in Punta Cana and stuff like that, because, you know, at that point, yes, is there somebody else that is on the PGA Tour or is trying to get a tour card that can use that spot? Absolutely. But it's a sponsor's exemption. The sponsors, they pay a lot of money to have the right to be able to pick a couple guys that they want. And it's, you know, on the PGA Tour, you know, a lot of these guys are established enough that, yeah, he's taking a spot, but he's not really taking a spot. Where I'm conflicted about this is because it's the Korn Ferry Tour specifically. And
Right.
And the reason why I'm conflicted is because likely this Korn Ferry Tour event probably would not have been televised, or if it had been televised on Golf Channel, it likely would have been in a very small window, tape delayed, probably during the PGA Tour event coverage on NBC or CBS, whatever channel that day happened to be airing it. But Tony Romo playing, you kind of want to hope and assume that there will be people that might not be big golf fans or might not be people that would normally tune into the Korn Ferry Tour that will tune into this event to watch him. And then during the course of that might say, oh, wow, okay, I really like this guy or I want to follow these guys a little more often. And they might start paying more attention to the Korn Ferry Tour, which could be a good thing, because the more eyeballs on it means the more TV money, which means the more, you know, that they can increase the purses. Why I say I'm conflicted is because it's a Korn Ferry Tour. There is probably somebody out there that probably could have gotten this spot that is literally sleeping in his car and, you know, mini tours, and is and could have used this to get on the Korn Ferry Tour full time, so then he could try to get on the PGA Tour and potentially make a living in golf. So on the one hand, yes, I think it's going to bring a lot more eyeballs to the Korn Ferry Tour, which is good, because realistically, the only way they can raise purses is if they can demand more money from TV partners and sponsors. And the only way you can get to do that is if more people are attending your event, watching your event, which Tony Romo can help do in theory. But at the same time, I don't know, man, the Korn Ferry Tour, you hear all these stories about these guys that are trying to Monday qualify, and, you know, they're sleeping out of their cars and they're driving 16 hours, you know, in the middle of the night to try to get to a place, and they get there and they got $5 in their pocket for a cheeseburger from McDonald's, and that's it. And it's just like, man, a guy like that could probably get that spot. But at the same time, like, you know, like I said, these sponsors pay a lot of money to be sponsors of these golf tournaments, and part of the one of the things they get is they get a couple choices that they get to pick. And, you know, if this sponsor wants to take Tony Romo, you know, unfortunately, that's just the nature of the game.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. Anyway,
I said, I'm conflicted, because on the one hand, I'm right there with you. But on the other hand, if it means more people are going to start watching the Korn Ferry Tour,
yeah,
and if people can watch that event and then continue to keep watching, because obviously if they watch for Tony Romo and then they're never watching again, well, that doesn't do anybody any good. But if we can get some of these people to watch Romo to then keep watching on a week in, week out basis, that obviously could be a huge benefit for the tour.
Right. I agree with that. I just think it's negligible how many people will watch. But we are very familiar with the Korn Ferry and Monday qualifying on all tours because of one of our semi-regular guests, Ryan French. And I always tell people, you know, Monday Q Info on Twitter is one of the most, and he's getting huge now. I mean,
it's one of the best follows on Twitter.
Absolutely.
If for nothing else, the stories that he gets shared, like, for example, when I was talking about, you know, these guys driving 16 hours in the middle of the night, sitting in the car having $5 for, I didn't just make that up. Those are actual stories that you hear about from that Twitter account.
Right.
And it's just great that he's shedding light on, because, you know, most people that watch golf, they see Rory and JT and Spieth and Tiger. They think, oh, these guys are all multimillionaires living in their mansions on the water and driving their boats and their Ferraris around. No. That's like the top 1% of the 1% of golfers. The majority of golfers are golfers like you and me, but they're trying to make a living out of it. And they are doing those 16-hour drives in the middle of the night, and they're sleeping in their cars, and they got $5 in their pocket for a cheeseburger from McDonald's, you know, and the fact that he's shedding some light onto those. And I don't know if you've noticed as of late, there have been people that have been seeing these stories and have been incredibly generous with their time and money. And some of these people are blocking off rooms or hotel rooms at a hotel for these guys, and or they're renting a house and saying, you guys come over here, or hey,
it's
I got a car, I'll pick you up from the airport at 2 a.m. and take you to your hotel. What do you need? You know, what do you need? So it's just an example of all this crap that is going on in this world right now. It's just another example that there are good people out there, and there are people doing some absolutely fantastic things out in the world right now.
Correct. All right. Go play golf. Have fun. Play well. Have fun. And we'll get back in touch in a couple of weeks after the Masters and talk about that tournament. It's always great talking to you, man. Be well.
Sounds good. Sounds good. My dark horse, by the way, is Spieth. And I know it's crazy to think of dark horse and Spieth, but he's coming into form. Look out for Spieth at the Masters.
Okay. I'm going to bet him. Thanks, pal.
All right. There you go.
All right. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf, Sunday morning, as you know, because you're listening, and you've been listening. This is great. You know, we have guests from all over the place, but what we really, really, don't tell any of them, but what we really care about is local golf and the great things going on here, the great people involved with golf in central Kentucky and really all over the state. And one of those guys is Chris Reddle of the Bluegrass Golf Tour. He joined us last season before we went on hiatus, and we talked about something really great, and I'm happy to have him join me today and catch us up on what happened with the Cullen Brown Invitational and what's coming up this season. Hey, Chris Reddle, how are you doing?
I'm great, Matthew. Always happy to join you for your Sunday morning tea time.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I know you don't talk about it enough with the Bluegrass Golf Tour, but the Square Country Club on Main Street here, where I play, where, you know, Backspin Golf, we tee off. I hit the ball. Sean, I think the last drive I hit was about 4.5 miles. It went right down Main Street all the way. It was great. This is a great country club. You ought to come down and play it sometime.
Thanks for the invite. I'm there.
Okay, good. As I said, this is huge. We all know, obviously, about Colin Brown and our tragic loss last year. But out of that came the 2020 Colin Brown Invitational. Just give us a quick recap of what happened with the Invitational.
Yeah, it was a fantastic event. It takes place in Western Kentucky. We had nearly 100 players. And most importantly, we raised over $10,000 for Colin Brown Memorial Fund.
Amazing.
We were scheduled to play at Paxton Park and then follow that at Calvert City Country Club. And when we arrived on Saturday morning for the first day of the tournament, we found out that Calvert City was flooded. But the great staff at Paxton Park was able to rearrange their schedule for Sunday and host us the second day as well. We gave out our first ever Cullen Brown Award winners. Jay Nimmo from Benton, Kentucky, and Catherine Brown from Eddyville were the first Cullen Brown Award winners. It recognizes sportsmanship, playing ability, integrity, friendship, and love of the game. So just it embodies exactly what Cullen stands for, and we were happy to be to start that last year and then build on it going into 2021.
Well, it's just before we get to 2021, I mean, when you think about it, obviously we know about the impact that Cullen had on communities all over Kentucky, but to get almost 100 players and raise that kind of money right out of the gate, I mean, it wasn't like you had a couple of years to plan all this stuff, really says something about not only you, and the Invitational, but the community of people in Central Kentucky.
Being connected to Cullen made it easy. All I had to do was develop the event. And we started this in early August, and the event took place at the end of October. So it was a very short window. In 2021, we're moving to the summer so we can get more players and have a double wave. And it's going to be on July 22nd and 23rd. Once again, in Western Kentucky, and there's a lot of opportunities for players to play. So certainly building on Cullen's reputation, his impact that he's had on golf, that's the attraction to the event. And then we get a lot of really good players. It's a fun event for those kids to play in. And we know the champion's going to be a quality champion.
Well, as you talk about, you have juniors, college golfers, junior golfers, especially from the 2020 high school season. It's going to be a great field. And now talk to me a little bit about the Faldo Hurricane series.
So Nick Faldo has a series of events, and he has developed a national grand final that's going to be on CBS Sports. And in our partnership with the Faldo Hurricane series, our overall boys and overall girls champion at the Cullen Brown Invitational this year will receive a spot in that grand final. So a direct ticket to the to a national TV final for at least two Kentucky kids.
Let me ask you this. Don't they have like senior invitations to this thing too? Because I'm an old guy. I mean, I'd love to be. Well, never mind. I'm not really. I can't do it.
I'm not a young guy, but when I was a kid, there were none of these tours that existed, none of the national TV experiences that exist, and now there's multiple opportunities. So the investment in the future of the game in golf is the investment in our junior golfers. That's what we do every day with the Bluegrass Golf Tour, and to be able to connect to some special events like the Cullen Brown Invitational, it's just a dream come true for me to be a part of it.
Well, I want to get to the tour in a minute, but you brought up this whole idea of youth, youngsters getting into golf. And I deal with so many great people in our community about this, but you talked before we started recording about drive, chip, and putt, which is going to follow our show on the Golf Channel. I watched a little bit of it a couple days ago, and boy, you talk about it's unbelievable. They're at Augusta, for gosh sakes. And these kids, I watched the when I turned it on, there was a young girl, the 7-9 division. I watched this girl putt and I went, I've been playing 45 years. I've never hit a putt like that ever. And she was 7.5 or something.
Well, in the history of Kentucky kids going to the Drive, Chip and Putt National Championship, the last time they held this in 2019, Connor Smoke Ford from down the road was a national champion.
Right.
And now we've got three kids from Kentucky that are going to be competing on this national stage. You've got Athena Singh from Moorhead. You got Luke Coyle making a return trip. He's out of Taylor County. But locally, Bradford Lacefield out of he's at Keene Run, and he's out at the Woodford Club. He's from Versailles. He's a tremendous young player. He's going to finally have his opportunity. Remember, these players qualified at the end of 2019 and have had to wait through the pandemic to have the opportunity to travel down to Augusta and be a part. I couldn't even sleep for a year and a half if I wouldn't have to be waiting that long. So it's amazing. Yeah, Drop, Chip, and Putt's going to be phenomenal, and it's free for kids to get involved with. While I'll promote that left and right. It's a tremendous program, and your partner, Man of War Golf, hosts one of the local qualifiers every year. So a tremendous opportunity for kids to get
involved.
It's a great
point. We've Matt McCready and I have mentioned it already on the show, and we will keep doing that. The youth, the golf, it's in really good hands. We have so many kids coming up. You mentioned Man of War Golf, the clinics over there. When I go over there a couple times a week just to hit balls or chip or something, there's kids everywhere. It's fantastic. All right, let's talk a little about some highlights about the Bluegrass Golf Tour. Talk to us about that.
Well, we're entering just our third year of existence, and while year one started with about 250 members, year two last year over 700 members, and where are we this year? We're up 33% on where we were at the end of March last year. We're over 550 members that have already joined for this year, and we still have spot for plenty more to join.
Are you giving away money? What are you doing? Handing out money out there?
Well, we have an affordable option for players. It's only $30 to join the Bluegrass Golf Tour. Bluegrassgolftour.com is our website. Anybody can go there and join today. So we have over 75 tournaments that take place during the season for the juniors. We have 8 events that include college divisions. And I run more than about 10 high school events per year and some middle school championships. So we've got a wide variety of options available for players of all ages.
And
almost all ages.
Not me. Okay. And let's work on that for next season.
We'll get there.
Okay. But also important, because we are here in Lexington, there are more than 20 of these events that are within 45 minutes of Lexington. I mean, that's amazing.
I found that in my experience with junior golf, that most players are not going to travel more than 45 minutes playing a golf tournament. But if they have a lot of options to be able to do that, and with all of the tours that exist in the area, there's multiple options for kids to play. We're all in the same church. We're just in different pews.
That's
just one of those options for these junior golfers. But yeah, more than 20 events that take place within 45 minutes of downtown Lexington. If you live in the area, you'll have a place to play pretty close to home.
That's awesome. All right. We only got a couple of minutes before we have to wrap up. There are some major events coming up in Central Kentucky. Talk to us briefly about that.
Yeah, there's really three highlight events that kind of fit into the Central Kentucky market. We have our Match Play Championship, which we just finished the World Match Play just a couple of weeks ago. It's very similar to that. The players play a 9-hole stroke play, and then we divide them into groups of 4 players, and they play a match against each of the other 3 players in their group, and then they advance to an overall shootout. So that's a pretty fun event. That's down at Old Bridge in Danville. We've got our 4-ball championship at Kearney. I know you love to play Kearney. It's on May 27th and 28th. And we also have a college division in that 4-ball championship. And then our Bluegrass Junior Amateur, one of our other major signature events, is at UK Club, where we play both courses. We start on the Big Blue course.
Oh, boy.
Day one on June 30th, and then we'll play the Wildcat course on July 1st and add those scores together. So those are some feature events that we have in the Central Kentucky market. And we're always looking for new programs and new things that we can throw out there to give these kids a connection to the events in their local area.
Well, as I've said before, and you're really humble about this, but there's nobody better that's doing all of this for all our junior golfers and golfers than you and the Bluegrass Golf Tour. It's just phenomenal, Chris. And thanks for jumping on today. We just started our season back up, and you and I are going to be doing a lot more talking as we go through here. Thanks, man.
Bottom line is, if you find something that you love to do, you're going to be successful. I know you love to talk on the radio and talk to other people. You're doing a fantastic job of showcasing Thanks. The golf. Thanks for
everything. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Okay. Chris Reddle, everybody, from the Bluegrass Golf Tour. We'll be right back with Matt McCrady.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Men O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's that time of the Sunday, Backspin, this tee time that we have every Sunday for the director of operations at Men O' War Golf. Best practice facility anywhere. Our guy, Matt McCrady. Hey, Matt McCrady.
Mr. Lawrence, how are you? This fine
okay,
Sunday.
I get every week. All right, just keep calling me. I have a feeling if I keep telling you not to call me Mr. Lawrence, you'll start calling me Matthew, just to be contrary.
Well, I'm also Matthew. I just don't want to confuse the situation.
Oh, we got a real problem if that's confusing to you. Okay. Anyway, and as we talk, because we do these on Zoom now, beautiful new backdrop of Men O' War Golf, the putting greens, the members area. It's been the driving range now. Boy, that is all right. I'm coming right over there. I can't stand it anymore.
Beautiful.
Okay. All right. Let's start today with next week. Let's look ahead starting tomorrow. It's Masters Week. It seemed like we just had it, and that's because we did just have it. But I already asked our buddy Dan Houser, who joined us just a little while ago. I get your quick thought on this. Have you seen the menu for the Champions Dinner, Dustin Johnson's menu?
It looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Pigs in blankets.
Filet mignon, salad, I mean, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, stuff you could get like at Applebee's. It's so Dustin. It's so Dustin. It's perfect.
I'm surprised they're not having sandwiches. Like you said, his favorite part of the Masters is the sandwiches. I thought they might have sandwiches.
See, that's exactly what Dan said. He was surprised he didn't just go to the concession stand and get egg salad and pimento cheese sandwiches. By the way, I was blessed enough to go to my first Masters 3 years ago now, and pimento cheese sandwiches, yuck, but the egg salad sandwiches were awesome. Just saying.
I ordered that you can buy this Masters package and they ship it to you. So I'm getting, it should be here tomorrow, a package that has a pound of pimento cheese, a pound of egg salad, some chips, some cookies, and souvenir Masters cups. I bought that
to
kind of celebrate and watch on Sunday.
I may have to do that, and if I do, I'll bring you over the pimento cheese, and you can have that.
Count me in.
I won't be eating that. Now, thoughts as we go into this Masters week. We all know Justin Spieth is playing great right now. I think all of us would love to see Jordan win the Masters again. That would be, he's come close in the last couple months after what happened to him there. And we're not going to go into all that stuff about the 12th hole, but it would kind of be really great to me to see him. I hope he contends again, and I hope he wins.
It would be very big for the game of golf. And I say this all the time. I don't think anybody moves the needle as close to as far as Tiger moves the needle.
Of course.
As Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So him winning would be great for the game of golf. It would be great for me as a fan, because I like the guy. I want to see him win because he's good entertainment on TV.
Yeah. Yep. And there's no disputes or controversy with Jordan Spieth. Like certain guys, you know, I don't usually talk about Patrick Reed and the other guy, you know, that I won't even say his name. But So that brings up an interesting point just for a minute. There's been a lot of talk about Augusta National and, you know, tournaments have actually put internal out of bounds to keep people like the Hulk from, you know, hitting it purposely two fairways over to get. There's a lot of stuff at Augusta National that drives conversation all the time, but especially this week with things like distance and how they're going to set it up.
You know, Augusta, the great thing about the Masters tournament is that it's only governed by Augusta National Golf Club. It's not governed by the RNA, the USGA, the PGA Tour. They right. can do whatever they want to do. And they, you're playing in our tournament, you're going to play it our way. And that's, I think that's why the Masters tournament is everybody's favorite tournament, because number one, it's like the kickoff to spring and the blooming azaleas and just the perfectly cut grass and them governing the tournament and presenting the tournament in a correct way that it should be presented in.
Right. Well, it's, we all know it's going to be interesting. You and I will talk about what happens going into Sunday next week. And before I let you go, tell us a little about the, we have adult clinics that are starting this week, baby, out of Man of War. Tell us a little bit about those.
Tomorrow night, if you're not signed up and want to get signed up, we've got plenty of room. Tomorrow night's the first one, 6 to 7:30. Myself and Mike Pulliam will be out there. We'll start your month off of adult clinics with putting, and we'll move into, you know, chipping and hitting your irons, hitting the driver, etiquette on the golf course. We've got ladies. Our ladies classes are already full for Wednesday morning and Wednesday evening. They're already full. There's a wait list. We've got it's awesome. And then Saturday is the Saturday class. It's got room in it. But, you know, if you want to get back into golf or learn how to play golf, come see us this week. This is the way to do it for sure.
And we'll talk more about this, obviously, as we go every week. But I know that I got excited. We only have about a minute and a half. I got excited because I saw you were about to play in a tournament that Golf House Kentucky, our buddies over there, had a whole thing. Unfortunately, something came up and you won't be able to play. But how much golf do you actually play? You're handling all this stuff over at Man of War. How much do you actually get to play?
Put it this way. Since October of last year, I have played a whopping 9 holes of golf.
I got to talk to Brad.
Definitely not by choice. I've played 90 holes, but it has just been 9 holes, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I'm sure even though you've only played 9 holes, you could have gotten out there and just killed it. I'm sure you could have this week against guys who are playing like 36 a day.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, sometime soon, as crazy as you are, and probably your days off, if you even have any, the last thing you want to do is be around the golf course. But maybe you and I one day can go out and play 9 holes together.
Yeah, play 9 holes really early in the morning.
Yeah, I do that.
Pick a dome, Kearney, one of those two.
Okay. That's a deal. I'll talk to you. We'll set it up. And I'm first off. As soon as the sun just starts to rise, we can hit it. You and I can be done in an hour playing 9 holes.
You got to give me a couple of shots, though. You got to give me 2 or 3.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll give you. You got to give me a playing lesson is what you got to give me. I give you 2 shots for the 9 holes and you give me a playing lesson.
Fair enough.
All right. Thanks, pal. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
See ya.
See ya.
All right. That'll do it for another edition of Backspin Golf. Just as I always say, I'm so blessed to be able to do this show and have the people on that we talk to every week. I want to thank our incredible sponsors, Man of War Golf. Where have we heard about Man of War Golf before? Edwin Watts, Lexington Parks and Rec. We just heard Picadome and Kearney and the other great golf courses. We have Georgetown Advantage Air, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, and Clark's Pump and Shop. All right, it's Masters Week, peeps. We will be live, as we are for the final round of every major, next Sunday morning. Until then, have a great week, a safe week. Play some golf if you can. Stay tuned. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, and then The Angelo Show coming up next. This is ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.